Nosna hiv yamahu. The Gemara seems to say that that's not acceptable. So Tosis points out that there is a Gemara Zayinam and Aleph that by Adam Chashuv it will be a good Kiddushin. Okay, it's a nice Gemara. So the Ferish Gemara, why is it good? Because Hanoah Kikesev means if she would have been willing to pay at least a Shavar Pruta to somebody to get the boy to agree to accept the gift from her, so his accepting the gift is worth a Shavar Pruta to her. So then you say Hanoah Kikesev. The Gemara later on Daf Mem Ches says it's a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether Hanoah Kikesev works or not. So how come over here everyone agrees? And Dav Zayinam and Aleph by Adam Chosha, everybody agrees. The answer is because here the pula that he does is 1 second. He accepts the gift from her. But if it's a pula m'mushaches, if he's going to schok lefanai or kod lefanai, he's going to do a pula that's going to take an hour. So then it depends on the machlekes hatanai from Avodah Zarah. That's the test whether yeshem l'schiris p'tchil v'atzof rein l'schiris alula b'sof. If Yeshem is Chiris Mitchil V'atzof, he's being Mekadosh with $1,000 worth of Pu'ula. But that every Shavar Pruta is worth. That's how Rashi writes on Daf Mem Ches. Every Shavar Pruta is worth his Koina Shavar Pruta. So he's being Mekadosh. When a man is Mekadosh and Isha with a ring that's worth $200, it's not that he's always Mekadosh with a Shavar Pruta. Everybody's Mekadosh their wife with a Shavar Pruta and the rest is a Matana. No. Shavar Pruta is the minimum, and if it's worth more, you mekadosh with the full $200. So here you have to be mekadosh with the full $1,000. So he usually takes this as a fee for such a presentation, for dancing or singing, whatever it is that he's going to do. So if you hold Yeshem Nuschiris Mitchila Be'atzov, then it's mekadosh with many Maisei Kiddushin. Every Shavar Pruta's worth of work that he does is another Maisei Kinyan. If you would hold the English chivus alul of the sof, that the makru shachman, the last bang, or if he's painting, the last motion that he does with his hand to do the last bit of painting, that's kind of the whole chiyuv. So then it's one maisei kinyan. That's kind of the ishus, just like it's kind of the full $1,000 chiyuv. So it's whatever's kind of beyond this kind of cup, it's kind of over here. But if the old yeshin chila be'atzov, then it's. And it's a pula m'mashechus that takes a long time, then you have many maisei kinyan. Every pula that he does, for which he deserves to get a shavar pruta, is mechayev the other party, the baal habayis, to pay more money. So by kiddushin, you have to have one maisei kinyan. You can't have a composite. The kiddushin is chal because he made 5,000 maisei kinyan. You have to have one maisei kinyan. That's the gemara on daf memchez. Okay. So, but here, by Adam Hashu, when he accepts the gift, there's one pula that takes 1 second, so the tchila is the sof. So there's no issue of yeshem tchila l'sof, and the schiris over the sof. There's no shayla over here. Fine, that's what the Ksos HaChoshen points out. So here the Tosis has an innocent little Tosis. The Tosis says that sometimes nos nahiv yomrahu, sometimes it will be good kiddush. By Yonah Chosha, just quoting a Gemara. Innocent Tosis. Innocent little Taisus, they're just quoting about Ferish Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon tells you that there is a group of Rishonim who disagree. What exactly are they disagreeing about? It's a Gemara later on, Dav Zayinam and Aleph. So if you look in the Bir Hagro on Ebenezer, that Gemara and Zayinam and Aleph, where it says that by Odom Chashuv, she's Mekudeshes. Where is that Gemara? So in that Gemara, it says you look in Shulchan Aruch and see Mechav Zayin Siv Test. Look down Chav Zayin Siv Test. The Bir Agro explains that there's a double machlokes of Rishonim over here. One machlokes is semantics. If she gives a matana to the Adam Choshev and he accepts it, so Taisus calls it Nos Nahi V'Omahu. The other Rishonim say, no, it's Nos Anhu. That since he says, Harei Mekudeshesli V'Tahnoa, that I was Mahana you, so that's considered as if Nos Anhu. Okay, that's just really a question of semantics. They call it Nos Nahi. It's not a question of Halacha. The din is the din. Olam Choshev is good. Because Hanok Kikasu is considered as if he was Mahana her. So it is considered Nos Anhu. Yomahu. Fine. Okay. So Taisus calls it Nasnahi. Okay. That's just how you word it. But then there's another, then the Bonagon says Bitarti Pligi. There is another Machlekis, and the Ramah takes a stand on the other Machlekis. Semantics is irrelevant. But the Ramah takes a stand on the other one. By Adam Choshev Shiny, does she have to say in advance, I am going to, if you'll be kind enough to accept the gift from me, I will be so pleased, I will agree to marry you without you giving me a ring. Does she have to say that in advance? So half of the Rishonim say she has to say that, and the others say it's not necessary to say that. So the, and there are more Paschal like that, it's not necessary. He quotes those Rishonim who say that it's not necessary for her to say in advance. Why should anyone insist that she has to say in advance? Why should she have to say? Usually the Kala doesn't say anything. The Kala marches down the aisle. I mean, when he proposed a couple of months ago, when the boy proposed to the girl, she said, I agreed to marry you, okay? And then she agrees to march down the aisle. She's all dressed up like the Kala. And then under the chuppah, she doesn't say anything. Why all of a sudden over here, the Kala has to say something? So it's a very strange Taz. So the Taz says, because if he's an Adam Chosh, it means that he's a big time Chacham, he's not going to spend so much time with her going to the movies and taking her to shows and so on and so forth. So not every girl wants to marry an Adam Choshev. So usually under the chuppah, when the boy says, Eret Mekudesh, this is the girl who shows sekes, so shtika indicates her haskama. But here, since he's such a big Talmud Chacham, so maybe the shtika doesn't indicate her haskama, so she'd better say, if you'll accept this gift from me, I will agree to marry you. So a little strange. Pashim Pshat is not like the Taz, but Aboich Svara that he says. So the Vilna Gaon seems to learn that it's a machlekes and halacha, not an umdana issue. Can you really understand from her shtika that she's prepared to marry an Aruch Hashem? She marched down the aisle, they sent out the invitation, why not? The Pashta says that it's a different shayla. There is a topic that's discussed in Perek HaKaines and at the end of Ksubis. The title of the topic is Mavriach HaRim Inichzi Chavero. Let's say there's a lion who's going to attack your property, and I chase away the lion, and he doesn't destroy your property. So can I send you a bill because of the fact that I chased away the lion? When do I have... You didn't ask me to chase away the lion. If you ask me, please chase away the lion, and I'll pay you for your services. Okay? So you have to pay. You asked me to do the pula. You didn't ask me to do it for you. So when... What does the halacha say? If I do... you have to pay me for services rendered only if you ask me to do that work. You employed me. You're the employer. You employed me. You said, please do the work for me and I'll pay you. So then you have to pay. Or it's always understood you're going to pay me. What if I did the work without you asking me? Do I have the right to ask you to pay? So let's say I can't come and you just had your apartment painted last year. I come and I paint your apartment again. So some millionaires like to paint their apartment every year. And other people can't afford it. They don't want it. Other people can't afford it. And they also don't want it. They don't want their whole house to be a wreck. When you have no choice, you go crazy. The painters come and they make everybody crazy. You don't want to paint every year. So let's say I come to your house. You're away on vacation a week. I come to your house and I paint your apartment. Then you come back and I say, I want you to pay me $7,000. I say, what? You weren't interested in a painting. You didn't need a painting. You don't want to pay a penny. Of course you don't have to pay. But the shaila is, what if it comes out that there was mahana you? You really did need a painting, but you were going to have someone else do it. You were going to consider having someone else do it. And I run in and I do it. So can I demand that you have to pay me? So that's the topic of Maria Harim in Ichse Chavera, whether you have to pay or not. So there's a gigantic Tosfos, very big Tosfos in Perek HaKaines, on the Amud Aleph. And it's repeated again at the end of Ksubis, the same machloikas that Baal HaTos has had. Whenever I do pu'ula for someone else and he didn't ask me to do it, does he have to pay or not? So the one opinion, where do they have such a case? So they have a situation, a person was kidnapped by pirates. And he has no cell phone. Has no email, has no way to communicate to the outside world. He would love that someone should redeem him, get me out of this, I'm in a dungeon. So if there's an umdur in the mukhaf that he would be willing to pay up until $100,000 to be released. So some good Samaritan goes, and he, on his own, and he knows that this person is held prisoner. He goes and he gives them $100,000 to release the prisoner. The guy is so excited. And then I'm the one who got you out of prison. I laid out $100,000 from my bank account, and I got you out of prison. So then you turn around and you say, thank you very much, I don't want to pay you. So Tosfos has a machlokes. So one opinion of Tosfos is, it's an umder in the mucha that you would have been happy with that. You would have, if you would have had a cell phone, if you would have access to email, you would have tried to contact the immediate world and then someone get me out of here, and I'm prepared to spend up until $100,000 to get me out of here. So if I'm the one who spent the money, since it's an umder in the mucha, you would have wanted it, even though you didn't ask me in advance to do that work, you have to pay. Let's say I read you a shidduch. And I'm a professional shatran. I didn't do it as a friend. I did it as a shatran. And then after the shidduch goes through and you marry the girl, then I say, I want shatran. He said, I didn't ask you to read me the shidduch. I thank you very much. Very nice of you. I didn't ask you. So do you have to pay or not? So the Ramah says that there are more paskins like that opinion of Tosfos that you do have to pay. If you married the girl and you're happily married, then it's an umdirin that you would have been prepared to pay. How much money? I don't know. That you got to figure out. How much money would he have been prepared to pay to have someone read the shidduch? That you have to negotiate. That you have to figure out. Or if I redeemed you from the pirates who kidnapped you, so you, it's an umdirin the mucha, you would have wanted me to do that malocha, so you have to pay. And Tosfos proves it that's the halacha, that opinion, that's the Ramah Paskin Zechash Mishpat. Tosfos proves it from the Gemara in the end of Bob Metzia. Ayodot Harchzara Shachber Shalom Bishus Vehishbicho. You went away to Eretz Yisrael. You have a lot in the middle of Manhattan. I go and I build a whole hotel. And the lot used to be worth $500,000. Now the lot is worth $25 million because I built a big hotel. And now it's fantastic. It's unbelievable. So the hotel belongs to you. I built a hotel on your property, so that's called Aroy Ashbach. Aroy means Ara Shali, Akarka Shali Hishbiach. Akarka Shali Hishbiach doesn't only apply if you have trees growing in your farm, in your field, and apples grow in the trees, or you planted something and everything grows. Aroy Ashbach, even if I planted it in your field, you didn't have anything growing in your field. I planted it, or I built a house on your field. It's not growing. I built a house. It's also called Aroy Ashbach. So the hotel belongs to you. Shadis, do you have to pay me? So the Gemara said, you have to pay me. You don't have to pay the same amount that you would have paid someone if you would have commissioned him to build a house, because you didn't commission me to do the work for you. So you pay a little less. Okay, Gemara does, he gives you the cheshbon, but it says you have to pay something. So Tosfos paskins, you see from that Gemara that if I do pe'ula for you, you didn't ask me to do it. I decide I'm going to do the pu'ula for you. And Sinub Dan Muchad, you would have wanted to have it done. So then the halacha says you have to pay. In other words, interesting, chiddush, this Ramah paskins like that opinion, that Schiras Poyolim is not a Hischaivis Midas. There are different types of chiyuvim. Sometimes there's a Hischaivis Midas. I accept let's say I borrow money, or I buy a house. I have to pay the Meha Mekah, I have to pay the $1 million that the house is worth. That's a hischaivus midas. I accepted it upon myself to pay the money. And then sometimes you have a chiyuv. That's not a hischaivus midas. I crash into your car and I'll mazik you. I steal from you. I'm choyvel, I beat you up. So then the Torah has a choftal rabbis nezikin, chiyuv imamin, that the Torah imposes upon me. Not that I accepted it upon myself. There are many differences, lalacha, between that's called a mil haksuga ba Torah, means a chiyuv imamin, that the Torah imposes upon me, as opposed to Mil B'Sheinik Silva Torah, which means even if it is written in the Chumash, but even if it weren't written, I would have known on my own that I have to pay, because he accepted the obligation out of his own free will. He bought the automobile and he said he wanted to pay, or he borrowed the money and it's understood that he has to pay. So that's a Hischaivis Midas. That's called the Mil B'Sheinik Silva Torah. Even if it wouldn't be written in the Chumash, I would have known anyway that he has to pay, because he accepted it out of his own free will. And Milbak Silva Torah, that's a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. So the shaila is chiras poyalim, the fact that you have to pay the workers. Is that out of, because the balabai is engaged, I employed the workers are going to do the work for me. So out of the goodness of my heart, I agreed to pay them the money. It's out of the goodness of my heart that I agreed. Oh, what goodness of my heart? I did pula for you, so the Torah imposes a chiyuv upon me. I have to pay. Schiris poilim. Not that I accepted it upon myself. Is that his chayvis midas or not? So according to the one opinion, according to the way the Ramah passes in Shulchan Aruch, it can't be his chayvis midas. He never asked me to do the work at all. He was going to call in a different painter to do the work. He wasn't going to ask me to do anything. I built a hotel on his lot. He didn't ask me to do anything. It wasn't his chayvis midas. But since it's an umder in the muchach that he would have been happy with that, so the Torah imposes the chiyuv upon me. Then the other opinion in Tosis is not so. The other view in Tosis is that it's not so. The only time you have to pay schiris poilim is if you ask them to do the work for you. It's a b'feri shigmar, the end of Bava Metzia, ha'yori l'toch sara, shachaber shalo b'shuz v'hishbicha, does get paid something. Shaman lo v'yara al tachtayin, he does get paid something. So why does he get paid anything? Isn't that midin schiris poilim? So Tosis says, no, that's not midin schiris poilim. That's a different word. Tosis says, there the shvach b'yen. What do you mean the shvach b'yen? The karka used to be worth $500,000, an empty lot in the middle of Manhattan. So now that there's a big fancy hotel on that lot, now the karka is worth $25 million. So the karka went up in value. It didn't happen by itself. It's because I built a hotel there. I worked very hard. I built a hotel. So that's what the other day in Tosis holds. Whenever a person creates shvach, the person acquires ownership of that shvach. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu own the world? Because he's the one who created the world. He's Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes on the expression Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Konei, then he created the world, and because he created the world, therefore he's Konei, he acquired ownership of the world. If you bring something into existence, you create something, so then it belongs to you. So here, your lot in the middle of Manhattan used to be worth $500,000, and I built a whole hotel on it. There's a whole chunk of a thing over there. So I created Shvach B'yen. It's a different thing over here. I go to your farm and I plant. I plant something. So the farm belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. But the stuff that's growing, on the one hand, it should belong to you, Aroi Hashbach. On the other hand, it should belong to me because I'm the one who created the Shvach. So you have to negotiate how much of it belongs to you because I roi hashbach and hamavish, how much of it belongs to me because of the fact that I created the shvach. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam an interpretation on a Rambam in Hilchas Maisris, I think it is. The Rav Chaim is in Hilchas Malva Veloiva, but he's commenting on a Rambam in Hilchas Maisris where the Rambam quotes a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Rav Soloveitchik used to quote this in his drushes, that the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi Hazareas, they hefker is chayv in shumas amaisis. If I plant, there's a field of hefker. So if I plant peiros, I plant tvua, and the sadr shal hefker, and it grows, then you are chayv in shumas amaisis. Why is that? The din in Mishnah says that hefker is patav in shumas amaisis. So the standard Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi interpret that if something is hefker, so kala kodim zocha, whoever comes first has a right to be koina. So if it's karka, how can you be koina karka mena hefker? So you can't be koina b'chalipin, there's nobody to make a chalipin with. It's hefker. You can't be koina b'shtar, there's nobody to write a shtar. But you can't be koina b'kesef, there's nobody to give the kesef to. It's hefker, it doesn't belong to anybody. But you can't be koina b'chazoka, a gershon leis, vein lo yorshim, so the Gemara says, you make chazoka and you koina. You can be zech mena hefker, ade chazoka. So the standard Mefarshim on Yerushalmi learn the Pnei Moshe, and the others, they learn Pshat Hazareh, they have Keres Chayv and Shumas Maisis. Why? Because when you plant a field, that's called Chazakah, and you kind of decide about Chazakah, so once it's yours, so now it's no longer Hefker. So when the pears grow, the Soda belongs to you, and the pears belong to you. So Rav Chaim doesn't like that. He thinks that the din is not true. He thinks the word Chazakah has six different meanings. There's such a Prima Godim. So one is Cheskes Habatim. Cheskes Habatim is someone is away for 3 years and I'm planting in his field for 3 years in a row, year after year, and nobody's Moicha. So So if I use the field, I live in the house for 3 years, or I plant in the field for 3 years, that serves as a raya that the house is mine. If I claim that I bought it and I lost my shtar, and the other guy claims that he never sold it to me, so the fact that I was planting in the field for 3 years, that can serve as a hechacha that the house is really mine. My tain is true. If I come chazoke she'ini matain, I come, I say, squatter's rights. Since I was living here for 3 years, I have no claims, no legal claims at all, but since I was living here for 3 years, you have no right to kick me out. So in the secular law, there is such a din. So that's why we don't recognize it. The halacha is that that's a chazoke eini matain. Chazoke she'ini matain is a mishnah cheskabatim, that is no good. If I claim I bought the house from you, you sold it to me legitimately, and the real proof is you gave me a shtar. But I lost the shtar. It's already 25 years ago. And I can prove that I was using Achilles Paris. I was using the farm for 3 years in a row. Achilles Paris is a cheskes abatim, it's a right. But karka is nikkas b'chazoke, that's not planting Paris. That's not kind of karka. The Mishnah says in cheskes abatim, karka is nikkas either b'kesef or b'shtar b'chazoke. That's the Mishnah here. In Kiddushin, the first pair, then the Mishnah in Cheska Batm says what's called Chazoke, to be kind of karka, says Noal, Godar, or Paratz. I put up a fence around the farm, or I knocked down the fence, or Noal, I put a lock on the fence, I locked the door, whatever. But if you plant Paris, planting Paris is a Chazoke for the purpose of Cheska Sabatm, Shalashanim, to serve as a Hechoche, as a Raya, that my Taina is an Emesdika Taina, that I bought it from you. That makes it a chazaka sheishi mataina. But it doesn't constitute a cheskes abatim. It's a good for cheskes abatim, shalvashanim. But it's not good to be kind of a chazaka to be zechem and hefker. Rab Chaim says that it's not true. What the Mefarshim say on the Yerushalmi, that hazarez, they hefkes, chayv chums and maises, because when you're zare, when you plant it, that's a chazaka and you kind of the karka of a chazaka. So it's not true. You're not kind of the karka of a chazaka. So why are you taka? Chayim and Shumas and Maisen. So Rab Chaim explained, that's the Chiddush of the Rishalmi, that in order to be potter from Shumas and Maisen, the din is that Hefker is potter. Doesn't matter whether the field is Hefker, the field is not Hefker. It matters whether the Paris are Hefker. So Hazareas, the Hefker, I planted Paris in a field that's Hefker. The sod that remains Hefker. I was not kind of the sod that meant a Hefker. You're not Zechem and a Hefker by planting. You would be Zechem and a Hefker if you would put up a fence around it. No, God, there were parats. But if you just plant Paris, that's not a kinyan chazaka to be zechem and a hefker. But because I'm the one who was arayed, I'm the one who brought about the Paris that they should grow because I planted it, so the Paris belonged to me. So that's what the Rishalmi said, the Chiddush, that hefker potem mitrumas and maises depends on the Paris, not on the soda. The soda can be hefker, but the Paris belonged to me. So therefore, you are chayv and trumas and maises. So you see, from that Yerushalmi a klal, that whoever creates shvach bien acquires ownership of shvach bien. Here is a problem. The sod is hefker. Azareh is the hefker, so there's no conflict with anybody else. There's no one else contradicting it. I created the shvach because I planted, so it all belongs to me. Shad is if the field belongs to you, and you're away on vacation, and I built a hotel over there. So you have on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have a conflict. On the one hand, the field belongs to you, so Roy Ashbach. So the whole hotel, even though... Not only do you apply Aroy Ashbach if you already have trees and the trees bear fruits, even if I plant the trees, even if I build a hotel, that's all included in Aroy Ashbach. So on the one hand, the hotel should belong to you because Aroy Ashbach, the field is yours. An hotel was built on your fields. On the one hand, it should belong to you. On the other hand, it should belong to me because I created the Shvach. So the Gemara says you have to figure out some kind of a pshat. To what extent? You say, Achloku. To what extent does it belong to the Aroy Ashbach owner, and to what extent does it belong to the one who created the Shvach? The only time you say that one who creates Shvach acquires ownership of the whole Shvach, that's if there's no, he's not in conflict with anybody else's ownership. Let's say I come to a jeweler, and I give him a chunk of silver. And I say, make me a becher from this silver. So he melts it and he makes a whole fancy design. Make me a menorah. So I gave him a chunk of silver that was worth $1,000, and now they made a whole menorah, and now it's worth $10,000. So the same silver, the exact same silver, the way I gave it to him is worth $1,000. Not because he made it so fancy, now it's worth $10,000. So the extra $9,000 belongs to me, or belongs to him, or belongs to both of us. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. What's that called? Whether uman koine bishvachli or ein uman koine bishvachli. An uman means a kablan. There are two types of employees. If I hire you as a jeweler to take the silver to make a becher out of it, we agree how much I'm going to pay you. So you get paid by the job. You don't get paid by the hour. If I have my automobile fixed by the mechanics, he gets paid by the hour. That's what the sign says, whatever. $60 an hour, $100 an hour, whatever money they take for fixing an automobile. So if the fellow's a poil gets paid by the hour, so then no one says that he's kind of, no one says that he's kind of a shutfis in the fixed automobile. But if he's a kaplan, he's an uman, so then you have a machlekes in the Gemara. They say, uman kind of bishvachli, because he created the shvach. Before, the chunk of silver was only worth $1,000. Now it's worth $10,000. So the extra $9,000 is because of him. So should you say that he's a shutif? He's a shutif in the becha now. He's a shutif in the menorah, whatever it is that he made. Part of the menorah belongs to the original owner of the silver who gave it to the jeweler. And part of the menorah belongs to the jeweler who made the fancy design. Or do you say no? That Aroy Ashbach, the one who owned the original chunk of silver, is kind of the whole $9,000 extra that it's not worth. Instead of being worth $1,000, that's pure silver, is worth $10,000. So the whole thing is nikne to the owner because of Aroy Ashbach, and he owes me schiras. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. That's a machlekes by the uman kind of bishvachli, or ain't uman kind of bishvachli. Why? Because there's a conflict over there. Because on the one hand, the uman who created the shvach bien should acquire ownership of the extra $9,000. He's the one who created the added value of $9,000. On the other hand, you have Aroy Ashbach contradicting it. So there's a deal. But if you these are yes, they have care, then for sure the one who creates the shvach acquires the ownership of the shvach. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's the pshat in the Gemara. It's the Gemara Leidim and Kiddushin that Kol Malacha Shebet Osa LeRabbo Talmud Osa LeRabbo. The Rambam quotes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that there's a din by Rabbi Muvok. By Rabbi Muvok, if you have an outstanding Rebbe, that Rav Chachmasa Hemenu, the Rebbe had such an influence on the Talmud that it's Rav Chachmasa Hemenu. So any malachas that the Eved would be obligated to do for the Yadon, so the Talmud is mechayev to do for the Rebbe. So what kind of a din is that? Rav Soloveitchik, an Eved, I own the Eved. I own the Eved. So that's why, like I own a behemoth. So I have a right to make the behemoth work. So I own the Eved. So I have a right to make the Eved work for me. Why is called Malacha Shevet also the Rabbi Talmud, also the Rabbi? Rav Soloveitchik thought, because the Rebbe created him as a Torah personality. Before he was a Goylem, before he was a dopey guy, nothing special. And the Rebbe, he was worth, as a human being, is worth a million. But now that the Rebbe made him into such a big Talmud Chacham, now he's worth 20 million. So the extra 19 million that he's valued now, since the Rebbe created that, so the Rebbe owns that. So just like Kol Malacha Shevet also the Rabbi, because the Eved belongs to me, so I have a right to make the Eved work for me. So Talmud also the Rabbi. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested of Pshat, that the Rebbe acquires ownership in the Talmud. Finish. I don't think so. When I pay him to plant, I probably pay him by the hour. So that's not a numen, that's a poel. So a poel, no one says is kind of bishvachli. Only uman. Uman is a machlokes, and we pass an uman is not kind of bishvachli. Most Rishonim son uman is not kind of bishvachli. You have the shaila. This discusses it at the end of Bava Kamma. It's quoted in Yeridei, Simon Kuf Kof. The simon about the tfilas kelim. If you have a clay suda, that you have forks and knives, and you have glasses or plates that once belonged to a non-Jew, then a Jew acquires ownership of it, so you have to do tfilas kelim. So what happens if a Jew has a chunk of silver, and he gives it to a non-Jewish uman, and he says, make me a becher out of it. So he makes him a becher. So if you say, uman koine bishvach kli, then the goy is now a shutif in the becher. Then when the Jew pays him whatever they made up in advance, he's going to pay him $20 for doing the work. He's not paying him a salary. He's buying back the ownership, that part ownership that the Nochri has in his Becher. So now you need Tfilas Kelim, because the Kli once belonged, Bishutfis, once belonged partially to the Nochri, and you bought it off from the Nochri. See, if the din would have been, let's say, if a Jew has a factory, and all the workers are non-Jews, and they manufacture glasses, they manufacture Bechers there, but they get paid by the hour. The workers in effect, that they don't get paid by how many bechers they manufacture. They get paid by the hour. So if he gets paid by the hour, nobody holds. There's no machloikis, there's no shayla. Nobody says umen kain mishvakli. So if the factory is owned by Jew, the workers are goyim, nobody says umen kain mishvakli. We're sure you don't need tefilas kelim. But if he's not paid a salary by the hour, he's paid by the unit. I give it to a jeweler who happens to be a nochri. I give him a lump of silver, and I say, make me a becher out of it. So then, we paskin enum and kind of mishvakli, but out of respect for the other opinions, so holds that yes, so they would hold that you have to have tefilas kelim over there, because the kli belonged b'shutfis to the goy. So this is the two opinions in Tosfos. Rav Baruch Ber, above Metzia, quotes that he heard from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he thought that more correct is the other opinion in Tosfos. Baruch Be'er surprised, how can Rav Chaim say that? There are more paskins otherwise. I don't see what's such a big surprise. The two opinions in Tosfos, the Ramah has the right to paskin one way. Rav Chaim thinks that we should paskin the other way. But I'll call upon him, there are two opinions. One opinion in Tosfos is, Hayor the Tel Tzadosh Al-Hver Shalom Yishuz V'Hishbicho, that you have to pay me something, is not Bindin Schiris Poilim. If I read you a Shidduch and you're happy, or I painted your apartment, if you didn't ask me to do it, you don't have to pay me anything. The only time you have to pay me is if you created Shvach Bien. You built a hotel on my lot, and now there's something there that wasn't there before. You were the one who created the Shvach. So whoever creates Shvach should be kind of the Shvach. But it's in conflict with the other principle of Aroi Ashbach. So you have to negotiate something. So he's entitled to get something out of it. But if there is no Shvach Bien, I just read you a Shidduch and you're happily married now. So Rav Chaim thought like the other opinion in Tosfos, you don't have to pay anything. In the end of Ksubis, it's two opinions, the same Tosfos that appears in Perek HaKoines, appears in the end of Ksubis, and it appears twice in the Tosfos and the Ksubis. So there's one Tosfos, but they only quote the second opinion, the opinion that Rav Chaim thought is more correct. And the Pnei Yeshua explains it, it's based on what they said in the earlier Tosfos. Tosfos has a gigantic Tosfos, there are two opinions about that. If the fellow was kidnapped by the pirates, and then a good Samaritan goes and he redeems him, and then he says, I did a pa'ula for you, I laid out $100,000 in order to get you out of the dungeon, I want you to be reimbursed, I want you to pay me. So it's not a halboa, he never accepted upon himself as chayvus midas to pay a halboa. The shaila is he chay midin zchi respond, there's no shvach bien. He didn't create any new bien, just that the guy has his freedom now. So the Ramah paskens like that opinion in Tosfos, that since it's an umadir in the muchach, that the fellow would certainly be happy to pay $100,000 to gain his freedom, so therefore it's a din of schiris poil. The other opinion in Tosfos says, no, you don't have to pay anything.
Why is this an acceptable moshul to the case of a woman giving over money? She clearly wants him to accept it. It's not like someone came to her, someone's house and moves the lawn a bit and asked. It's basically like her pointing at a loan and giving someone a lawnmower. She's telling, she's even if she doesn't say it out loud, she's giving it to him. Basically, not to double up him, because she's giving it to him. Clearly, he's going to accept it. And it's all stemming from her beginning with that.
Usually, when I give a gift, I don't expect to be paid. The fellow who's receiving the gift says, I gave you a matana by accepting your gift. No, let's say I give you a gift. So then I have to pay you. I have to pay you for accepting the gift. Usually you don't have to.
But the hanah exists no matter what. I mean, right.
Not say like the taz.
So if the hanah exists no matter what, then it's going to be accepted no matter what. It's going to happen no matter what.
Oh, so let's see. So we saw the Gemara Memches, where the Gemara says that hanah ki kesef is not that it's another form of kesef. It's really a din of schiris poilin. If a If the auto mechanic fixes my automobile, so that pu'ula, fixing the automobile, is mechayev me to pay. I said, please fix the automobile. I engage the painter. I say, please paint the apartment. I'll be happy to pay you the $7,000. Or I have someone, a contractor, to build a house for me. I tell him I'll pay him money. So when he does the pu'ula, that's mechayev me. I'm mechayev to pay back. Every time a person does a teiva to another person, so you say he has a right to ask him for money. So the question is, if it's an umdar and a muchach that the person would be happy, then Tosfos says that that works midin schiras pilim, even though the person never asked the other person to do it for him. Like the guy's held prisoner by the pirates, they kidnapped him. So it's an umdar and a muchach, he would be happy to be redeemed, even if it's going to cost him $100,000. So there are more paskins like that opinion, that there is a din of schiras pilim, because it's an umdar and a muchach, he would have wanted it. And Rabbi Baruch Ber quotes Rabbi Chaim, he thought that maybe you should prefer the other opinion of Tosfos, that there's no din of schiras poilim unless the Baal HaBayis requested of the poil to do the pula for him. If he didn't request in advance, then he's a good Samaritan. So he did a mitzvah for the day. Every time a person reads a shidduch, he has a right to charge hatchanas. No. Good friends, they're doing a b'taras teiva. They didn't do a b'taras schiras poilim. The shadchan is even the shadchan, who that's his parnasa. He read shidduchim, so if he read the shidduch unsolicited, the boy didn't ask me to read him a shidduch. I read him a shidduch, said, do I have the right to charge him money? The Ramah says yes, because he's happily married now, and to the extent that it's an umdar and the muchach, he would have been willing to pay money for that, even though he never asked me to read the shidduch for him. He do have to pay. And the other opinion of Tosfos is as not. So that's what the Vilna Gaon thinks is a machlokes. The one machlokes over here is in semantics. If she gave him atana to the Adam Choshev and he accepted it, he called that Nosan. Who would he call it Nos Nahib? Kan Zog Nazayim, Kan Zog Nafaket. It doesn't make a difference. The din is the din. The din on Dav Zayin Amin Alavit, that is good Kiddushin. Whatever you call it. Zlamal of Lamarit. But the Vilna Gaon sees that there's another machlokes kfula here. There's another machlokes over here. Do you need that the girl should say in advance, please accept the gift from me, and I will be so pleased by that, I will agree to marry you without you buying me a ring, without you giving me anything. Does the girl have to say that in advance? Why should somebody insist that the Ramah Paskins that it's not necessary? That's the Ramah Lushitosa, that the Ramah Paskins, that if I redeem the guy out of the dungeon, even though he didn't contact me in advance, he doesn't have a cell phone, he didn't contact me, he didn't say, please get me out of here and I'll pay whatever it's going to, whatever you'll ask, I'll pay up to $100,000 to get me out of here. He didn't ask me to do it. Since it's umdar in the muchach, that he would have wanted it, he would have been prepared to pay $100,000, so there's a din of schiras poilim, even though he didn't ask me. So the Ramah Lushitosa writes over here, even though the girl never told the boy in advance, please accept the gift from me, Yitzhachan Anam Choshev, I will be so honored if you'll accept the gift from me. She made this knitted yarmulke for him, so the Adam Choshev is going to wear her yarmulke. So she's so pleased by it. So if she says in advance, please accept the gift and use it, then I'll be so pleased, I'll agree to marry you. Then she set up the case as one of Schiras Poilim. She said in advance, do this pula to me, accept my gift, and to me it'll be worth a Shavar Pruta. And just like Schiras Poilim, it's kind of bi'alma, it's kind of that you have to pay, so it's kind of kan, it's kind of ishus. That's what it means. Hanuah kesef doesn't mean that it's a form. It's not kesef. It's not shavu kesef. It's ain't gufa mammon. There's nothing here. There's nothing tangible over here. But it means, just like kesef is kind of bi'alma, kind of kan. So hanuah kesef means that schiras poilim is also kind of bi'alma. So it's kind of kan. And the other opinion in the Rishonim is that even though it's an umder the muchach, that this is what she wants, but she never asked him in advance. She gave him a gift, and he says, I accept your gift. And I think that I made you so happy, you would probably be willing to pay a shavu pruta to convince someone to pay someone to convince me to accept the gift. So you should consider it as if I gave you a kedushin of a shavu kesef, of a shavu pruta. But she never said that in advance. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that's a machlokes a rishonim over here. Does she have to say in advance? Does she have to set it up as an instance of schiras poilim? Does she have to say, please accept the gift and you will please me so much, you'll be ma'ana me so much, I'll agree to marry you without any kesef kiddush, without you getting me a ring? So half of the Rishonim say, yeah, Rav Chaim would say yes. Because it's not called Tzchiris Poelim unless the Balabais requests of the Poel to please do the Pula for him. And the Ramah paskins no, the Ramah is Lishitasai, that the Chosh Mishpat, he says, that the one who redeems the other guy from the kidnappers, from the pirates, has to, is entitled to be reimbursed. So the Ramah says over here also, there's no need for her to say anything in advance.
He's saying Hariyat Mekudeshet.
He says Hariyat Mekudeshesli, yeah. He says Hariyat Mekudeshesli b'tahanoa that I was mahana you. So that's Omar Hu. And then the Nasan Hu is, he's accepting the gift that's called Nasan Hu. But it's bidin Schiris Poelim. And Schiris Poelim is Machlekes HaRishonim. Do you require that the Balabayis is the one on whose behalf the Malacha is done? So that's the girl. The girl is the Balas HaBayis over here, the Kala. So do you require that the Balabais has to say in advance, please accept the gift and you'll please me so much, I'll agree to marry you, or it's not necessary for her to say that?
Would we say then that since it's dependent on the umdana that she wants to marry this other Mokhashim, that if she, let's say she was going out with another guy or she had no interest in this particular other Mokhashim, then it wouldn't kick in? Because right now there's no, she's not accepting it. With Mamun, Habibi, she could say, I don't want to accept it. Right now, when there's hanush, like she's giving a gift, she's not necessarily accepting with halal hanush. So, would that opinion that she doesn't have to say anything still need the umdana to be that she wants to marry this particular other mufashah? Because it means any time that a woman gives a gift to another mufashah, he can marry her even if she doesn't want it.
Even if?
Even if she doesn't, she wouldn't want it because we implant this umdana that she, since he's an abu mufashah, that he's giving her kiddushin. I mean, if she doesn't say, I'm giving you this, I'm going to ask to marry me, but he says, I'm going to be with the Hana, do we still have to...
She says, okay.
She says, I agree.
She
needs to respond, like, I accept this Hana.
Okay. She makes it clear that she agrees, but she didn't tell. She didn't say it in advance of his being Mahana her. So that's what half of the Rishonim hold. She has to initiate. She has to say, please accept this gift, and I'll consider it as if you were Mahana me. So then she makes it into Schiris Poelim. But otherwise, just the guy does Pula for someone else. That's not called Schiris Poelim. The Balabais has to request of the Poel that he should do the work for him. See, the girl is the Balas Abayis, and the Poel is the Chasen.
But the Machliyot is her accepting it as Kedushin. I mean, she still needs to accept it.
Yeah. Okay. So that she has to make it clear. And she's accepted, then everybody agrees to that.
Right,
so the question is, does she have to say it in advance of her giving the gift to him? In advance of his doing the Hanoah Kikeset. Maybe Hanoah Kikeset works within Schiris Poelim. Maybe Schiris Poelim only works if the Balabais requested of the Poel to do the work for him.
Either way, the Schiris Poelim doesn't. Schiris Poelim wouldn't require someone to accept it, though. If someone, let's say, mows my lawn or does or makes my lawn nicer, I am chayav to pay, according to the opinion that I don't have to request it. If it's
an umdana in the muchach that I would have wanted it. A lot of people leave their lawn overgrown. They don't pay anybody to do the mowing the lawn. And they have time, so they mow the lawn. If someone mows the lawn for such a guy, he doesn't have to pay a penny. I didn't ask you to do it. And I wouldn't have done it. I would not be interested in paying a penny. Not interested. Only if there's an umdana in the muchach that the guy would really have wanted, he would have requested it of him. Yeah.
What if somebody wanted to pay somebody to do it, but he wanted to pay somebody specific, like he wanted to pay his son, Tikvah Parnas or something?
Yeah.
And then somebody jumps in and does the service for you. Is that...
No, you're not chayiv. I would. It's an umdana book. I would not have asked you to do it.
It's the same as if he would want to do it himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an umdana book. I would not want you to do it. Yeah.
Why doesn't Shtivko Da work here? He said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the capital of the gift that you're going to give me. And then she gives him the gift. She knows that. Going on. Like, if she
I mean, he says it before she gives him the gift. Okay.
Isn't that the case?
No. If she says it before, then if he says it before and she agrees, so that's like I say, well, you want me to mow your lawn? I'll mow your lawn and you pay me a dollar. And then I start to mow the lawn. You don't say anything. It means that you're in agreement. Otherwise, you say, no, I'm not interested. No, thank you.
How can you say it after?
Yeah. She gives him the gift and he says, as he's accepting it, he says, I'm accepting the gift and I have mukudashisli. Yeah. But she never set it up in advance as a Schiris Poelim situation. So that's a machlekes HaRishonim.
Well,
That's what the Vilna Gaon says. That's the machlokes HaRishonim over here in Halacha. The other machlokes is just semantics. Whether you call it Nosna He or you call it Nosana. Very good. Okay.
Maybe the Gra,
the Tosfos,
is also funny on that
machlokes.
That's what the Gra is alluding to when he said
the Rebbe and Rashba. In the Bi'ur HaGra, Ebenezer, he points out that it's a double machlokes. One machlokes is the semantics. Do you really call that case Nosnahi? Maybe I should call it Nosanhu. Tosfos calls it Nosnahi, and the other Shem say, no, it's not as Nosanhu. But that's just a machlokes in Lashonis. In semantics. That's not lo malo v'lo mer, because the din is the din, that olam chashuv is good. And then he thinks there's another machlokes here in the Rishonim, whether you need amiras ha'isha in advance. So that's a machlokes in din. That's not a machlokes in semantics. That's machlokes in hilchas chiras poelim. That's what the whole idea of a copyright in halacha is all based on this. I make a CD with nigunim. I invested a lot of time, effort, and energy, and money to come up with this chiddush. And then I make 20,000 copies and I want to sell all or as many copies as possible. Then somebody takes a copy and he makes his own copy from that. So that's not right. What kind of a ganef is he? What did he steal from me? So he said that he stole the nigun from me. What do you mean? There's no bien that he steals. So the answer is, I was the one who has mechadish this nigun. I was the one who made this nigun on the tape. So therefore, I own it with respect to the right to make money on it. So if you are a potential customer, you probably would have bought the CD for $10. If I'm charging $1,000 for the CD, most people can't afford it, so they're not potential customers. So they're not really stealing from me if they make a copy of the CD. But if it only costs $10 for a copy, so he's really a potential customer. And I was the one who was mechadish this. I wrote a book, let's say. So I was the one who put together all the information in this presentation. Or I made a chart. Or I made a picture. Or I made a photograph or something. It belongs to me and I have a right to make money on it. That's based on this idea that whoever creates a chiddush is the bailam on that chiddush. Whoever brings about a bien becomes the bailam on that bien. So here it's not really a tangible bien, it's an intangible bien. It's an intangible thing. So the whole idea of copyright is based on this idea.
Don't we pass like the Ramah that really that you don't have ownership over it? I mean that Shvach Uman doesn't own the
Ein Uman Kainu Bishvach Kli, yeah. No, Ein Uman Kainu Bishvach Kli is because Aroy Ashbach is in conflict with the Uman Kainu Bishvach Kli. In fact, Rav Shach has in his Sefer on the Rambam is a problematic Rambam in Hilchus Me'ila, Amasechus Me'ila. So his teretz on the Rambam is that Mikra Din, we really paskan Uman is kind of Bishvakli. But it's self understood in 95% of the cases that the Uman is Mevater on his rights. Let the Shvach belong to the Balha, the owner of the silver, or the owner of the raw material that it made into the fancy thing. But if the only way for him to get paid is not to be mevatar on his rights, then we revert back to the Ikar HaDin, that really Uman is kind of a shvachli. That's Rav Shach's interpretation in the Rambam. So Soloveitchik also thought that even though we pass Ganein Uman kind of a shvachli, but Mikar HaDin, it should have been that it is. Should have been that it is. He never explained why it's not. He just said it's in conflict with the Aroy Ashbach, so therefore that wins. But sometimes even when it is conflict, the Uman kind of a shvachli wins. This is the Ikar HaDin. Whoever creates Shvach acquires ownership of the Shvach. Yeah, but here the Chiddush is that it's an intangible item. Because I came up, let's say, I developed the whole system on the computer, so someone's going to make a copy of my system. Usually I charge money for that. I want people to pay to get a copy of the system. So they're going to get it for nothing. So that's considered Geneva. That's because I created that shvach, so therefore I acquire ownership of it, but it's not tangible. So the worst, the maximum it could be is only midrabbanan over here. It's not really a din deraisa.
Suppose somebody doesn't use his copyright to make money, he just copyrights it. In other words, he's not selling anything. Sometimes people do
What I mean, he came up with a chiddush that makes a kabbe gamli gam lach la yia. No one should.
He uses it for himself, and he doesn't. Can you use that?
Yeah, if he's not interested in making money, it belongs to him. With respect to, he has the right to make money on it. But if he's meichel, okay. If he's meichel, there's no problem. Okay. The ones that go by to Amashmul. The Kiddushin, here, what is this on the fifth wide line? 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth wide line, on the Hayamid base. Amma Shmuel, the Kiddushin, Nosna Lakes, the Vishava Kes, Mahamariat, Mekodeshes, if you got to say Li. Hariat Moreses, again, if you got to say Hareyat, and he forgot to say Li, the word Li doesn't belong here. Hareyat Li into, Harezil Mekodeshes, even though he forgot to say the word Li. What if he says it backwards? Instead of saying Harat Mukodesh, it's Harini Isha, Harini Banach, Harini Arusach, and Kambes Mechish. Why? Because he has to say Kikachi Shisha Chadosha. He has to say a Lashon that he's marrying her. He shouldn't say that I am going to be married to you. He has to say you are becoming married to me. Okay. And the same thing, V'chem B'gerishin, Nosan La Gibbs of the Get, V'amala Harat Mukshalachas, Harat Mukreshis, Harat Mukreshis, Harat Mukreshis, Harat Mukreshis. But if he says Fakir, I am no longer your husband, any bailech, any ishach, any arusach, and kam b'esmech, said it backwards. Sure. Fine. Good. So we understand the din that he's saying. You have to say a loshen of kiddushin that you go on the girl. Now, a loshen of gerushin goes on the girl, not on the husband. Freg di gemara akashe, but he didn't say li over here. So you mean to say, omele rapop alabai, you mean to say lememro, the sovah shmuel, the shmuel is of the opinion that sheni mechichois, havion, you're dying. Yeah, what's the issue? So we said when we started yesterday, the day before, when we started to talk about your dying, the din, the original din of your dying is the din of Hilchas Shvua Nidorim, that you have to have nefesh kisushavah levate bisvasayim. The Shvua is only binding if you pronounce it with your lips. If you don't pronounce it with your lips, Gama Baliba, you made up your mind, you're taking a neder, you're taking a shvua. The Gemara says, Gama Baliba tzach lahitzi bisvasav. That's the Gemara shvua, it's daf chava. Also shmo. Ama shmo Gama Baliba tzach lahitzi bisvasav. A shvua is only binding, and most of the Rishonim hold the neder is the same as a shvua. You have to pronounce it with your lips. So what if he only says a half a sentence, and he doesn't say the whole sentence? So that's Xeris HaKosu, the Gemara in the beginning of the Dharm, has a pasuk that we derive from the pasuk that Yesh Yad V'Neder and Yesh Yad V'Shvua and Yesh Yad V'Neziris. Yad means like a handle of a pot, that you, if you hold onto the handle, you can pick up the pot. Here you have a handle on the Lashon. He didn't say the whole Lashon, but he said an incomplete Lashon. So by the Dharm HaShvuas, it's Psukim, and Dharm HaShvuas and Neziris is Psukim that it's acceptable. Yeah. Where else do we have the concept of Yad? So we had the first wide line in the Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Beis, Hocha B'mayas Kinan. So Tosfos quotes as a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Nachachamim regarding Yad Shein Machia. What's the machlokes? So we spoke the other day. They both agree, Rabbi Yehuda Nachachamim, they all agree that when you write a get to divorce your wife, you really have to write in the get, Hariyat Mutaris L'chol Adam, Harein B'gavir Shoisach, and you have to write, V'den Yehavi Lechem Yinoi Sefer Truchen. You have to mention that in the get. And Rabbi Yehuda says you have to mention it. The Chachamim say also you have to mention it. But even if you left out that whole line, but didn't have lich minoy, it's self understood and it's considered kila nichtav dami. It's considered as if it had been written. That's called a yad she'ena mochiach. It does mean it's a yad she'ena mochiach klal klal. It is not that mochiach. There is probably a miut b'nei adam who would mistakenly think that he does the gerushin based on the oral declaration. He just declares, we should no longer be married, I want to divorce you. And he only gives you the piece of paper, he gives the girl the piece of paper to serve as a shtar raya that he has divorced her. That's not the case. It's not merely a shtar raya. The get, first and foremost, serves as a shtar kinyan. By giving the get to the wife, she becomes a mgoresha. Then she'll hold on to the get. She'll be able to prove that she is mgoresha. Also serves as a shtar raya. But first and foremost, has to serve as a shtar kinyan. So because there is a miut b'nei adam who would make think like that, that the get is only l'raya b'alma, and the gerushin is accomplished by the oral declaration, so that's what Allah says, you have to write in the get, v'den yehavi lichi minoy. So the, and what if you didn't write it? So there's a chance, there's a possibility that he meant that it should be a shtar raya. He didn't mean it as a shtar kinyan. So that's a machlokes. Again, to review, Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham, they both agree. You have to write v'den de'hevi lechem minoy, that with this document, with this get, we hereby become the Goresh. You have to write in the get, this should serve as a shtar kinyan, not just as a shtar raya. But the Chacham say, even if you didn't write it, it's yesh yad b'get. It's considered kele nichtav dami. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have no right to assume. So the Gemara calls that machlokes. That's machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbana by yad she'en amachiyach. What do you mean, yad she'en amachiyach? You don't know what he's driving at. No, that's a test explained. Says yad she'en amachiyach klal klal. Then says yad that's not as machiyach as a yad amachiyach. Yad amachiyach means that it's 95% obvious that that's what he's driving at. He said this, and it's 95% obvious that what he means is that he left out the punchline, left out the other half of the sentence, and he says, and he tells us later on that he took a neder, took a shua. He says later on, that's what I meant. So the question is, but did he say that? So if it's 95% clear that that's what he was driving at, and he tells later on, that's what he meant. So that's called a yad hamachiyach. What if he made this, they took a neder, took a shua, it's only 75% machiyach, it's not 95%. So that's a yad she'ena machiyach kol kach. So you can't say it's a eno yad at all. The guy says a hey. Did he mean a hey betainus? Did he mean a hey nazir? Who knows what he meant? He can't tell what he meant. So if the guy says a hey, it can mean anything under the sun. That's called a yad she'ena machiyach klal klal. That's not called a yad at all. The only time it's going to be a machleik, there's a machleikus abai v'rove, in the beginning of the Dorim, and it's a machleikus abyudin ha-chachamim, and the Mishnah and Gitan, that pei, v'yad she'en machiyach means, it's not 95% machiyach, it's 75% machiyach. So that's a machleikus, to what extent do you require that it should be machiyach, you should declare that it has the din of yad. So where do you have the din of yad? The yad, the original din of yad is by neder and shvua, the original din is by shvua. Because Shvua needs nefesh kisishava levate bisvasai. Then most of the Rishonim assume that neder also needs levate bisvasai. One version of the Rabbeinu Tam is that Rabbeinu Tam said that neder does need the levate bisvasai. But that's not the general. Most people don't even know that there is such a version of the Rabbeinu Tam. There's such a... One of the Achrayim understood the Rabbeinu Tam like that, that he distinguished between neder and Shvua. The Pashto says Neder and Shvua and Nazir is all three need Levate B'Sosayim, and the Pasuk has a Yafusa. You learn that from the Pasuk that Yesh Yad Le Neder. Then the Gemara has Yesh Yad Le Get. A Get needs a text, and it has to. It's not sufficient. Sipur Amaisa Arei Megureshes M'men. It has to have a Sfiras Dvar Miserim. So one of the extra Sfiras Dvar Miserim that it has to have is has to say V'Den Dehevi Lechem Miroi. This Get should serve as the Shtar Kinyan. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it doesn't say, it's no good. You need the spheres of Amisera. And the Chacham say, you're right, it has to say. But even though it's not 95% obvious, maybe there's 7%, maybe there's 10% of the public who think that the get is only a shtar raya and the gerushin is accomplished by an oral declaration. But it's more than 75% machiach, so that's called a yad she'ena machiach. It means yad she'ena machiach kol kach. Not so much of a hachoch. But then there's a third category, Yad she'ena machiyach klal klal. Guy says, Hareini. Hareini b'tainus, Hareini, or Hareini nozir. What did he mean? Yad she'ena machiyach klal klal. Fine. So there's a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes abai v'rava. Had a paskin, whether Yad she'ena machiyach also has a din of yad or not. There is a gemara in the Dorim. I think it's something like Vavam, basically. The gemara has a suffix. Yesh yad l'kiddushin, o ein yad l'kiddushin. What's the shaila? So the Gemara says, what's the case? Echidami. He gives a ring to the first girl and he says, Hare mekudeshes li. Then he gives a ring to the second girl and he says, Ve'at. So he says, if he says, and you too. So you too means, Hare mekudeshes, and you too. He's marrying Rachel and Leah at the same time. One is Rachel, one is Leah. He's marrying the two sisters. But if he gives a ring to the second girl and says, At, so the Gemara is not sure what does he mean? It's a yad she'ena machiach. It's a question. How much of a hachocha is it? If he says in you too, that's not called a yad. That's a full sentence. It's crystal clear that that's what he means. He doesn't have to say a full sentence. But if it's absolutely clear, no two ways about it, what he's driving at, then it's not called a yad. If it's a little unclear, so if it's 95% clear, then it's called a yad amachir. 75% clear, then it's called yad shein amachir. So Gemara has a suffix where the yesh yad l'kidushin. So Rav Baruch Be'er quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, a very big chiddush. What's the Gemara suffix where the yesh yad l'kidushin? The only time you need the yad is when you need amira. You start off the story. By Nedarim and Shavuos and Naziris, you need Levatei B'Sfasayim. So if you have an incomplete sentence, I should say it's a lack of Levatei B'Sfasayim. You have Xeris HaKasa that tells you that Yesh Yad, there's a din of Yadis Nedarim and Yadis Lishvah and Yad LeNaziris. But if Kiddushin doesn't need Amir at all you need is an Umder of the Mucha, so you probably do have an Umder of the Mucha. So it shouldn't be good. What's the whole shadow way Yesh Yad for Kiddushin? So Baruch Be'er quotes in the name of Rab Chaim from that Gemara, you see a Chiddush that Kiddushin is different from Mekach and Memkach. When you go to the grocery store and you fill up your basket full of groceries, then you go to the checkout counter, they don't speak the same language. They speak Spanish, you speak English, but they understand how much money it is. So they mark up the bill, you give them the money, no word is spoken at all, and you acquire ownership of all of the groceries. You don't need Amir, you need an Umder in the Muchach. So it is an Umder in the Muchach. I push my wagon to the checkout counter, and they check everything out, and I put it in the bag, and I give them the money, and they give me the change, and I walk away. So there's an Umder in the Muchach that they're selling, an Umder in the Muchach that I'm buying. The question is, by Kiddushin, is that sufficient? An Umder in the Muchach is enough? Or do you need Amir? Why in the world should you need Amir? Oh, so maybe you need a special din of das, yikach, that the das habal by kiddushin is a higher level of das than you need from Mekka and Hamemka. So that's what Rav Baruch Be'er quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Some achrayim say like that, and others disagree. It's machlokes. The Ktzayst and Avnei Miluim talks about it, and the Beis Yankiv talks about it. Achrayim talk about this. Is it really true that you need amira by kiddushin? Or you just need an umdan and muchav, just like by Mekach and Memkach. I was telling some of the boys, I remember there used to be Rebbe here in the high school. We used to learn Mechavusa, Rabbi Michael Hecht. I think he retired already. He was a Rebbe here for many years. So at his wedding, he said Chasna Tarana. So he had a three-way Lishitosai, a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. On this point, whether you really need Amira by Kiddushin, or you just need an umdan and the muchav. So Rabbi Soloveitchik sat and he listened to the whole Dvater. He said, I never heard of this. He said, I never heard of this, B'Shem Rav Chaim. And he said, he doesn't think that it's true, that you need Amir. He thought it's the same as Mekach HaMem. But that's a famous machloikis in Achrayim. Do you really need Amir by Kiddushin? There's a Gemara in the next daf that if the husband gives a get to his wife and he didn't say a word, or the chassan gave a ring to the girl and didn't say a word, so the Gemara said that it's good if it's asukim beosawinyan. So would it be from the Gemara that you don't need amira? As long as it's an umdan and the muchach, it's good. So there's a machlekes and rishainim. The Meiri has a machlekes and rishainim. Is that what it means? Asukim beosawinyan. Let's say the boy and the girl are out on a date. And then it's a double date. There's another boy and a girl. And the other couple says, why don't you propose to the girl? Why don't you give her a ring? Marry the girl now. Elope. Give her a ring and marry the girl. And he doesn't say a word. He gives the girl the ring and he doesn't say anything. He never said a word. But he gave the ring in response to what the other couple said. The other said, give her a ring and marry her. So he gave her the ring and didn't say a word. Is that called asukim bosuinyan? Acherim asukim ifneim bosuinyan. That's also good. It's enough to create an umdan in the muchach. Or he say, no, asukim bosuinyan means the boy said to the girl, 15 minutes ago, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you. We're going to be happily married. We're going to have a lot of children. We're going to have a happy life together. And then he spoke about other things. And then he gives her the ring later, not to the deeper when he said, I'm going to marry you, but it's still asukim b'osuinyan. So that's a machlokes harishonim. Asukim b'osuinyan is only good if the chassan said, he said, I'm going to marry you before. And asukim b'osuinyan makes it that the amira from 15 minutes ago, it's mitzvah with the nesina from now, even though it's not terk de dibor. Asukim asuinyan doesn't even need that he should have said a word. If acherim asukim efneim is also good, that's how the Ramot paskins in Ebenezer. Acherim asukim efneim is good, means that you don't need amira. All you need is an umdan and a muchach. So that's a big machlokes.
Can't they be arguing over whether or not that's a good enough umdana and a musa? And everyone would agree that you don't need a mina. That one would hold that if other people are talking about that's enough and umdana and musa, or others, the other shita would hold that it's not. It's the other people are talking about it. We don't know what the fuss is about.
Meaning it's a machlokes in psychology.
Yeah.
But usually we avoid saying it's a machlokes in mitzvahs. We usually avoid that. So doichek to say the machlokes is whether he agreed or not.
So whether or not it's an umdana and a musa.
Right. So the Pashto says that it is an umdana and a muchach. The other guy eggs him on, he says, give the girl the ring already, marry the girl already. So he goes and he gives her the ring. It doesn't say anything. So the Pashto says that he's doing it in response to what the other person encouraged him to do. He's giving the ring the Shem Kiddushin. But he never said a word. So you really need Amira? All you need is an umdana and a muchach.
Can it be that the Amira is needed not because you require a higher level of depth by Kiddushin Mechakal Memkir, but because the Rashba writes in that Heba Gemara Nasneiva Amar Lo, but the Rashba says the reason that you need a Mira that the Baal would definitely need to say is because there are Eden, and by the Eden can't give Eden Stavka based on an Umdana, because when there's somebody else who needs to know what you mean, so by Mechakal Memkir there's no requirement for Eden, nobody else needs to necessarily know what you mean in order for the Mechakal Memkir to go through, so there it's enough to just have an Umdana and you don't need to say anything, but by the Eden where we require the Eden are going to know what the Baal means. So you can have the biggest umdana in the world, but we're not going to say that the Edom know 100% what he means until he says it. That's what the Rashba says in the Amira.
That's the question. Maybe the Rashba means the same as what Rav Chaim said, that just like you need Edis Lekim Adav, because you need a higher level of Das, you need Amira. Maybe that's what the Rashba said also. Could be that that's what he meant also. I have to look in the Rashba. I don't know. I'll have to take a look. So on that Gemara in the Dorim, I think it's Davov and the Beis, the Gemara has this suffix, whether yesh yad lekiddushin en yad lekiddushin. What's the suffix? Maybe the psukim only appear by shvua in the Dorim and the Zeris. Maybe it doesn't apply to kiddushin. What do you mean maybe it doesn't? It applies to gittin. The machlek is hatanaim and the mishnah daf peyay in gittin. They have to write v'dein, they all agree you have to write v'dein. But the Chacham say, Lamaisa b'pal mamshi, you don't have to write it, because it's such an umdana, it's considered kila nichtav dami, even though you never wrote it. Let's say in a shtar. Usually you write in a shtar, how many years it is, Libriya Salam. That's the practice. So you go to, you write a ksubi, you write a get, you write Chamesha Salaf, and Mishva Meas, Shivim, Vishesh, Libriya Salam. What if you didn't write Libriya Salam? There are a lot of ksubas I'm missing. The RCA Ksuba, they forgot to put in the two words of the Briya Salam. So you don't know what it is? No, everybody knows. It's the year 5776. But what? Since Hakamas Hamadina, United States of America? It's not 5000. Since Hakamas Hamadina, Eretz Yisrael? We know it's the Briya Salam. That's what it means, the Briya Salam. What if it doesn't say 5000? What if it says Vishnas 576? Everybody, it says, what is it? It says 776. It doesn't say 5000. It can't be. Well, this piece of paper is from 5,000 years ago. It's not even from 1,000 years ago. Obviously, it's self-understood that it's 5,776 years. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. You have a shtar. And it's missing, it doesn't say 5,000. It just says, the year 776, Libya Sardom. That's impossible. What in 776? So whatever is missing is considered a yad. Whatever is obvious that it's missing is considered a yad. Like, missing the words would be a sub. Whatever is missing is a good midin yad. So how can the Gemara have a suffix in the Dorim where the yesh yad lekiddushin and yad lekiddushin? The yesh yad lekitten. There's no pasuk on gitten. So you see it, the arrive of mamatz, you know. You have the pasuk by the Dorim Shavuos and Aziris that is a din of yad. And you apply it. If, even though over there you need there's a din of levati b'sasayim, and still is a dina yad, so by kitim gedushin should certainly be good. You see, by get it is good. It's a mishnah by get is good. The machlok is whether you need v'deina or not. So how can there be an abayid lev shita by kedushin? So that's what the Tosis asks. Tosis on that daf there in the Dorim Adav of Amabes asks on the Gemara, how come the Gemara has a suffix of the yesh yad lekedushin? It's a beferish and mishnah that yesh yad legitin. The only machlok is whether yad she'ena machiach, because the ksivas v'dein, it's more than 75% obvious, but it's not 95% obvious. So we call that the b'china of yad she'ena machiach kol kach. It's a yad she'ena machiach legamre. It's not 95% clear. So the pashtus is, Tosis works on that kash. Perhaps the pashtus of the Teretz is like this. By ksivas v'dein, We're discussing the text of the get. There's a gzeris hakasev that you need spheres dvar miser. A normal shtar just needs sipra maise. Just have to write zalim mechur lecha, zalim nisim lecha v'matanim. And by get, there's a gzeris hakasev. You have to have extra nusach. It has to have spheres dvar miser. So, if you have a yad, so it's self understood. Like if the words libriya salam are missing, word chamesha salafim is missing. So if something is missing, a lot of times when you have a sefer writes a fancy ksubas, a lot of times he skips a word. The word that he skipped is self-understood. Everybody knows the nusach leksuba, the rabbanim know the nusach by heart. So the word, you can't reinterpret it. You can't mean another thing. Let's say one of the words of the ksuba is missing. So we know what the word is that's missing. You don't have to add it on. Maybe the guy's not entitled to get paid the full salary. You agreed to pay the sefer if he does a good job. Let's say I agreed to pay the painter $7,000 if he paints the whole apartment. Then he paints up a funny color. I don't like it. So he says you don't have to prorate it. You're not mukhif to pay anything at all if he didn't do the job, if he didn't do a good job. So the sefer is supposed to have a beautiful ksuba, not just fancy schmancy delancy. It's supposed to have all the words. So if he left out a word, even though al pidin the ksuba is good because the word is self-understood, the muvah me'elam, and it's a din of yad, it could be it's not a title to get paid because he didn't write all the words in the ksuba. Okay, that's a shaila to have a din tar about that. They have these kind of din tar. You pay the sefer a fortune of money to make a calligraphy a fancy ksuba. He left out a word. So it's not ma'akev in the ksuba, but it's not nice. It's missing a word. So is he entitled to the full amount? Is he entitled to part of the amount or whatever? So the pashtus is just because you say yesh yad leget. If you left out the Bria Solom, you left out Chamesha Salaf, and you left out Vidain, is what to discuss, what is good or not, doesn't necessarily prove that Yesh Yad LeKiddushin. Yesh Yad LeKiddushin, we're talking when he's Mekadosher. He says, Hariyam Mekadoshesli, gives a ring, and then he says, Vyat. And it's 85% clear that he means he wants to be Mekadosher also, but it's not 95% clear. Maybe he meant, and this is a gift for you, I'm marrying this girl, And this is a gift for you. I like you too, but I'm not being mekadosh you. So it's a yad the Gemara has. So the suffix in the Gemara, where the yesh yad the kedushin is because kedushin needs, perhaps the suffix is kedushin needs a higher level of das. So maybe yad means that it's not that clear. It's not so crystal clear that that's what he has in mind. That's when you're talking about expressing the das kedushin. When you talk about the text of the get, everybody agrees that yesh yad the get. You need a text, and it's self-understood that this is the shtar kinyan, and not merely a shtar raya. So maybe all the tanaim agree that yesh yad leget when talking about the text. When you give the get to the wife, and you're going to say harei zegitach in an incomplete lashon, that may be the same suffix, whether yesh yad lekiddushin, whether yesh yad leget, because get and kiddushin need a higher level of das than mekach memka. So it could be that yad doesn't help for that. It could be that you have to have dibur mefurish over there. But when you're just talking about the text of the get, all the tanaim would agree that yesh yad leget, why not? That could well be. So now there's a Mishnah Gittin.
So if he did a sukkah b'osa, and he did whatever he did, kiddushin b'shtak, then whatever, even if he had said those words, it wouldn't have worked, that would have been yad, that word in his cases. Whatever he said, the words would have been a yad.
If what happened? What case? A man is gadish and isha bishtar. Good. And?
No, if he had said those words and tried to do kesef, and he said, Arayim Kudeshasli, or whatever he was, that whatever he wrote in, whatever Yosef would be a yad for Kiddushin, if he wrote the bishtar, would it work?
I don't understand the question.
If you have a nusach, that would be a yad.
That would have been acceptable if you would have said it bal peh.
It would be a yad, which you said
is
the
Machlokes,
right?
Machlokes. Yad by Kiddushin is a suffix in the Gemara, but the yesh yad by Kiddushin are not. So Tais says, how come by Kiddushin is a suffix and by get? Everybody holds yesh yad by get. So I said, the answer is yesh yad by get for the text of the get. You just need a lashon. So for the text of the get, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban, they both agree that yesh yad by get. They argue on the details, what if it's a yad shenemachiyach? But when he gives the get to the wife and he has to express das gerishin, Could be that that'll be the same suffix, whether yesh yad the kedushin is yesh yad the get. Maybe since he need more das than a mekach hamemkar, then maybe yad is not enough to elevate it to that level of das. Maybe he need deeper mafurish. But just on the text of the get, so that the Gemara says all the Tanaim agree that yesh yad the text of the get. The Gemara suffix only is in the expression of the das kedushin. That'll be the same suffix when you express the das gerushin. But the yesh yad lemaisa gerushin, the yesh yad for the text of the get, that's l'chol ha'dayis, that would be acceptable. So now there's a Gemara, then there's a Mishnah in Gittin. Mishnah in Gittin has like this, when you have a ksuba, so they have printed ksubas, we have a shtar mechivas chamas, we have a tanoim, they have printed text. And then you just fill in the names and the dates and the city and shayin. So what about a get? Can you have like that also? Printed text of a get, and 1, 2, 3, just fill in the names and the date. So the Mishnah says it's not acceptable because a get has to be written in Shema. All the other stars don't have to be written in Shema. Get has to be written in Shema. So what if you have part of the get is printed and you leave out enough, not only... So there's a Mishnah like that. HaKosev Tofsei Gittin, a guy is printing, let's say, or writing... The cipher has nothing to do with his time. So he lives in a little village of 25 married couples. So he prepares 25 gittin in case any couple decides to get divorced. But the husband didn't authorize him to write the get. So even though he wrote this get for this family, he wrote this get for this couple, that's called ksiva shelo lishma. Ksiva lishma means the ksiva was authorized by the husband. But if the ksiva is not authorized by the husband, that's called shelo lishma. So let's say he's kosev tofsei gittin. He's writing out the text of the get. He's writing the part of the get that there's so many extra lines in the get. The get would have been kosher. The meaning is that you have 12 lines in the get and you have the two chasimas on the bottom. You don't really need 12 lines to express what you want to say there. So let's say he's going to leave out, the Mishnah has, Achavav in Gittin, Achosav, Tovsi Gittin. He's writing a text of the get. So Shenech, he has to leave out Mokem Shem Ha'ish, Shem Ha'isha, and the Zman. In the Mokum, he has to leave that out. So Shmuel says in the Gemara, that's not enough. You have to leave out Mokum Harem Mataris L'Chalatam. You have to leave that out also. And all the rest is only a Tofes. The Gemara says there are different parts to the get. The part that's crucial is called the Torif. Tofav with a Tof, not a Tes. Torif, Tofav Reish Pei. Mokum Haturfa means the Iker. The Iker, part of the get, that without that you don't have a get. And all the rest is called a Tofes, a get. The rest is just the ibegechasim, just repetition. So the sefer wants to prepare in advance in case any of the 25 couples want to get divorced. So he wants to write 25 gittin, but he leaves out the names of the husband and the wife. He leaves out the date when they're getting divorced. He leaves out the mokum, and he leaves out the line harei mugaresh es mimeni mataris l'chalot. And all the rest you don't even need it in the get. So the rest he can have a printed text of a get. That's not a problem. That's the Mishnah. So Shmuel says in the Gemara there on Daf Chavav Lamanal, Shmuel says, "So Shenech Mokam Harei Mataris L'Cholot." Shmuel didn't say you have to leave out the day in the heavy lichim inoy. How come he didn't say you have to leave out the day? So obviously the Taisa says, obviously Shmuel thinks that the day in the heavy lichim inoy is part of the Tofes. It's not part of the Torah. You don't really need it. The get would be kosher without that. But that was the Machlokes Habuda and the Chachamim and the Mishnah. If you just said, "So you have to leave, you have to write, but then you have ilichim inoy. If you don't write it, the get is no good because it's a yad she'ena machir kol kach." So obviously Shmuel thinks that, not like Rabbi Yudah. Shmuel thinks like the Chacham, that you don't need the den. Therefore, even though we have a den, there's no need to write it lishmo. So that's Tosfos HaChacha. Here Tosfos keeps on beating around the bush. Tosfos keeps on saying, Shmuel paskins like the Chachamim, he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yudah. How do you know he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yudah? So the Ran in the Dorim quotes it. That's the vort is from this vort of Shmuel. In Gittin Dav Chavav, Shmuel says it's not enough to leave out Mokam Ha'ish, Mokam Ha'isha, Shem Ha'ish, Shem Ha'isha on the date. You have to leave out Mokam Ha'ir Meteris L'Chalam, and he didn't say you have to leave out Mokam Ha'date. So you see that Shmuel really paskins like the Chachamim. Here that's the top line in the text is Vav HaMadalas. Shmuel Salik Rabban. How does Tosis say Shmuel Salik Rabban? Because he didn't say you have to leave out the day. So that's how Tosis made a whole stira, had a whole katsha based on that Gemara Gittin. So the Vilna Goyen and the Bir Agron Ebenezer quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz. He didn't have a special line to Rav Lezer Mimitz. The Mordechai quotes this, and Mordechai Gittin quotes Rav Lezer Mimitz, the author of the Sefer Yirein, who's Misalek the Raya. He says the whole machloek is Rabbeinu and Rabbanan, whether it has to say the day and it doesn't have to say the day, is if you have a get and it doesn't say the day in Echei Benoi. So it's a yad she'ena machiach, means it's not 95% machiach. It's more than 5% of people who might think that you get divorced by an oral declaration and the get is only a shtar raya. But it's not more than 25%. It's yad she'ena machiach. It's more than 75% machiach that he means that the shtar should not only be a shtar raya, it should be a shtar kinyan as well. So the Gemara said that's the machlek zabiyur and the rabbanon. If you didn't write in v'dein, and you have a get without the words v'dein, so it's a yad she'ena machiach legamri. It's not yad she'ena machiach kolkach. It's not so much machiach. It's not 95% machiach, 75% machiach. So that's a machlek. Is that good enough or not? So Rav Lezer Mimitz says b'medvar mamurim. When is there a machlekes hatanoim if it doesn't say v'dein at all? What if it says v'dein and v'dein was written shelo lishma? You have a printed text of a get. And you printed all the things that are not na'akev. The whole fluff. The get has an awful lot of fluff. It has 12 lines. You don't need 12 lines there. My name is Hershel Shecht. I'm the divorce of my wife. You don't need 12 lines for that. That you can write in three lines. So the rest of the 12 lines are not really necessary. So if you have a dain printed in there, shaloi lishma, but it says, and this should serve as the shtaraya. So Rav Lezer Mimitz says, fine, whatever is written shalal l'shma doesn't count, but you can't say that it's a yad she'ena machiach. It's a yad machiach because it is written there. It's obvious that he meant that this should be a shtar kinyan. It's not only the get should not only be a shtar, it should be a shtar kinyan. That's what Rav Lezer Mimitz says. You cannot prove from the Gemara and the fact that Shmuel and Gittin of Chavav says, when you're printing Tovsei Gittin, when you're writing Tovsei Gittin, and he didn't say, you cannot prove that he holds like the Chacham that you don't need V'dein. Maybe the Olam holds you like Rav Yudah, that you do need V'dein. But if the V'dein is printed, he wrote V'dein before the husband authorized him to write anything. So that's considered Shaloi L'shma. But it's still, it's there. So when he writes the rest of it, L'shma, that's a yad hamachiach already. It's already more than 95%. It's 100% crystal clear that's what he meant. That this should be the shtar kinyan. Because it does say v'dein, just that it's a yad hamachiach. That's not a yad she'ena machiach. If it's not written at all, the line v'dein doesn't say at all, then we call that a yad she'ena machiach. But if it's written, but it's written shelo l'shma, so the thing that he did write l'shma is more than a yad hamachiach. It's 100% crystal clear that he meant that this should be the shtar kinyan. That's what Blazer Mimit says like that. So it's a very strong taina. So how did Taisus all over Shas? Whenever Taisus talks about this, and in Dorim, and in Nazir, and in Gittin, they always assume the fact that Shmuel didn't say you have to leave out V'dein, that's a right that he paskens like the Chachamim, that you don't need V'dein at all. What kind of a proof? The Blazer Mimit is right. That's what the Vilna Gaon quotes it. It's a strong taina that Blazer Mimit has. So obviously there's a crucial machlokes here between Taisus and Rav Lezer Mimitz. The Ruba of the Balei HaTaisus do not agree with it. They hold that it's on this and machlokes. And Taisus at the end says the two girsas in the Gemara beginning of Nazir. There's a fundamental machlokes here. When you have a Yad HaMachiach, does it have to be a Yad HaMachiach mitoch haloshen? Or if there's a Chocham mibachutz? What if there's a Chocham mibachutz? You can't tell from the Loshen itself. It's not 95% clear from the Lashon that you say. But it's machiach mibachutz because of some external factor. It's machiach. Here, whatever is written in the get, shelo lishma, is considered as if it's not part of the Lashon. It's there, but it's a hechacha mibachutz, or a blezim emitz is satisfied with that. Since it does say v'dein, even though it wasn't written in lishma, because the sefer wrote it before the husband authorized him to write a get, so that's a hechacha mibachutz, that he means that this should be a shtar kinyan, not merely a shtar rayim. So Rav Lezer Mimitz is satisfied with that. If you have a hechacha mibachutz, that's called a yad hamochiach. It's more than 95% mochiach. It's 100% clear. It says this should be the shtar gerishin. And the Bali Ataisis think, no, that in order to be considered, the Yara Machiach has to be Machiach Mitoch Aloshin. If it's Machiach HaHaychocha Mibachutz, that's not sufficient. So that's what Taisis quotes. There are two gears in the end of the Taisis. They say, the two gears so is, after Esh Masach is Nazir, base on base, Yisram de Garsi, and then they say, another, the Yisram de Garsi Faker. There are two different gears, exactly on this issue. The Machlekes Taisis and Blaz Mitz depends on the two gears and Nazir. Yimar says, Oimar, hey, Areza Nazir, Omer Shmuel, only provided Husha Nazir, I will have fun of. If it's ain't a nazar or a fun of, then a hate doesn't mean a thing. So the Gemara says, "Lema kasal v'shmo yad shein machiach lo havi yad." Should I say that if it's ain't nazar or a fun of, he's not a nazar because yad shein machiach is not a yad? The Gemara says, "Yes, mishum hachi ki nazar or a fun of havi yad a machiach. If a nazar or a fun of, he says a hey." He points to it and says, ooh, hey. He just said, hey. From the words that he said, you don't know anything. But he points and he says, hey. So obviously he put two and two together. He means, hey, nazir. The other Girsa in the Gemara says, faker. This one, the Garsi, Levin Kazavashamal Yachan Machir Klaham Yodan Mishani. No, I will have fun of, if you know, sir, I will have fun of it. He says, it's a Yachan Machir. It's not a Yachan Machir. What do you mean it's not a Yachan Machir? He points and he says, hey. It's crystal clear, yeah, but it's not clear in Terech HaLoshin. The Loshin had just said a hey. So the second gear said that they have the two. You look there in Nazir. On the first Dav in Nazir, there's a long text that has the same two gearses in the Gemara. Well, Mishani, the Gemara answers, I will have found a Havi Yach, Eina Machiach, Lochal HaPav. And I will have found a Havi Yach, Eina Machiach, it's not even a Yach, Eina Machiach, nothing at all. So those are the two gearses in the Gemara, whether Hechachami Bakutz makes it into a Yad HaMachiach, or not, that's a fundamental machlokes. But that's exactly the machlokes between the Rav Blazer Mimitz and the other Bali Atesis.
He says V'dein.
He doesn't say V'dein, he wrote V'dein in the text.
He says it. It's not there.
If he says V'dein, no. The Beautiful holds that has to be written in the text. You need spheres, dvarim, yisairim. Every shtan needs sipra mais, and a get over and above sipra mais, you need spheres, dvarim, yisairim. Need extra. But that's only in the text of the get. He doesn't have to say the day when he gives it over. He just says when he gives it over, harem, gresh, manim, materis, l'chal adam. He doesn't have to say the day. Even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require amiras, v'dein, v'shas, when you do the gerishin. He just says, that's needed for the text that they get. In addition to the Sipra Maisi, it needs Sfiras Dvar Miser.
It doesn't help to say it.
I don't think so. That doesn't help. But the Shaila is, what if it was written in the text of the Ksubish, the text that they get, Shalol Lishma. So Blazer Mimit says, what do I care?
It's there.
It's there, so I know that it's clear. It's clear from what he did write Lishma that he meant that this should be a Shtar Kinyan. And the Bali Atai said, that doesn't help. Whatever wasn't written in Shema is considered HaChacham HiBachutz. Chacham HaBachutz is called Yad She'en HaMachiach. And HaBlazer Mimit says, what's the difference whether HaChacham HiBachutz or HaChacham HiTach HaLoshim? If it's Yad HaMachiach, it's a Yad HaMachiach. So that's a fundamental machlokes over here in the Rishonim. So the Gemara asked the question over here. The Chassan said, Hari Emor Kodeshes, he didn't say Li. It's not 95%. Bismana Gemara, there was a certain percentage of people, more than 5% of people who would send a shliach to be Mekadosh and Isha for them. Even in the days of the Bali Atosis, they used to send someone to another village to be Mekadosh a girl and to bring her back to this village. So in the days of the Bali Atosis, it was also not so uncommon to send a shliach. Today, I never heard of anybody sending a shliach to be Mekadosh. No one does it at all today. So today, maybe a Yad HaMachiach, I don't know. But at least in the days of the Gemara, if he says Harem Kodesh, it doesn't say Li, it's not so clear that he meant Li. There's more than 5% of the people who are serving as a Shliach to be Mekadosh on behalf of the Mishalech, not on their own behalf. So that's what the Gemara thought. That's what Shmuel meant to say. He didn't say Li. The Gemara says, no, on the last line. No, Hochma Askin and Dormali. He did say Li. So the Gemara says, so what's the Chiddush? So Shmuel is elementary. If you say Harei Mekudesh is li, that's what the Braisa said before. Tarabanan, Kesa b'Kesev, Kesa b'Kesev, Harei Mekudesh is li. So what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says no. Lishne Basroi Kama Shmuelon. Shmuel said you have to say Harei At Mekudesh is li. You can't say Hareini Ishech, Hareini Balach, Hareini Arusa. You have to say on the girl. But he didn't mean to say the Chiddush that there's no need to say li. No. If he doesn't say li, then it's no good. Because it's a yad sheina machiach. Okay. Then the more continues. Tara Abonin on the third line from the top. Hariat ishte, hariat arisas, hariat kenuyali. Any one of these lishanis is acceptable. Is mukudashis. Or hariat sheli, hariat pishus, hariat zikukali, also mukudashis. The Gemara asked the Kasha, why did the Braisa write three and say a psak or a mikudeshes, then write another three and say a reza mikudeshes? Listen, kula kachada, write all six and say if the chassan says any of the following six lishainas, it's acceptable. Listen, kula kachada. Why does he write three and then he writes another three? So the Gemara says, chai v'alam l'amar b'loshan rabbo. That's how he heard it from his Rebbe. One Rebbe told him these three, another Rebbe told him the other three. So he wants to say over exactly verbatim the way he heard from his Rebbe. Even though maybe it would be make more sense to put it all together, say six, but that's not it. Then Chayav Adam Laimer Baloshan Rabbi. Rab Soloveitchik used to give the shiur in Yiddish. He used to say verbatim what he heard from his father. He said when he learned with his father, the father made him say over afterwards. So if he would say over one word different, the father would slap him. Father insisted you got to say exactly verbatim the way he said. He used to say in Yiddish. Then when he realized there was one student in the class that didn't understand Yiddish, there was one student who davened in the Spanish-Portuguese shul. He never heard one word of Yiddish in his life. So he was going to leave the shiur. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't occur to him that there's a student who does know Yiddish. Couldn't visualize such a thing. So the next day the shiur was in English. So he always used to try to translate verbatim. He's trying to say over what he heard from his father, translated into English. So sometimes in the beginning it came out awkward until he finally developed his skills at speaking English. So he gave the shiur in English. But originally the shiur used to be in Yiddish. So that's what the Gemara says. Tana klas klasha minu gasinu. He heard three from one Rebbe, three from another Rebbe. He said over exactly the way he heard. There is a machlokes rishonim. On the Mishnah in Mikvoyas, it says there's a din of Maim Shuvim, Pasal and Mikveh. So we pass Gimalugim, Maim Shuvim, Pasal and Mikveh. If you have a Mikveh that doesn't yet have Mam Saw, and you pour in Gimalugim, Maim Shuvim, so it passes. So Hillel says over from his Rebbe, Malo Hin, Maim Shuvim, Pasal Musa Mikveh, Hin. He doesn't agree, Gimalugim. We don't pass like Hillel. He says, Malohin Maim Shuvim Pasulas Amikve El Shachay Varam Lama Baloshan Rabbi. What does that mean? El Shachay Varam Lama Baloshan Rabbi. So the Bar Tanura learns Pshat that Hillel was a Talmud of Shmai Ba'Abtalyan. The Gemara says Shmai Ba'Abtalyan were either Gerim. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos they were Gerim. That's a simple reading in the Gemara in Yuma. Or they were descendants from Gerim. Tosfos Yontem says they couldn't be Gerim. How could they be members of the Bez Nagadol? So he says that he thinks it's a mistake on the Pirush HaMishnayos that they were descendants from Gerim. So they couldn't pronounce the word hin. They couldn't pronounce a hey. So they used to pronounce it in. So Hillel mispronounced the word because Chai Baran Loran Baloshan Rabbi. You have to say exactly the way the Rebbe said, even if the Rebbe mispronounced the word. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted over there saying he thinks that that's a joke. Chai Baran Baloshan Rabbi means to mispronounce a word. He thinks it doesn't mean like that. He thinks that the Rebbe couldn't, Shmai Ba'Avtalyan couldn't pronounce a hey, because they were converts, or they were descendants from converts. So that's why they added on an extra word. They said, Malo in Maim Shuvim, because they're going to say, Hin Maim Shuvim, Paisal Mitzah Mikveh, and they're going to pronounce it in. So it sounds like, Ein Maim Shuvim, Ein Maim Shuvim, Paisal Mitzah Mikveh. It's not Paisal Mikveh. They wanted to say that it does Paisal. They meant a Hin Maim Shuvim, not in Maim Shuvim. So they added on the word malo. So they said malo in Maim Shuvim. So everybody understands, oh, you mean a hin's worth, not ein, not an aleph. They're mispronouncing a hey and pronouncing it like an aleph. So when you say malo in Maim Shuvim, so everybody understands means, but Hillel did pronounce a hey. So what did he have to say the word malo? He could have said, "Hin maim shum b'asim usam mikveh." Chayvan alamu b'lashon rabbi. Not to mispronounce. He pronounced the word hin properly. But since the Rebbe felt compelled to say an extra word, maloi, so Hillel also said the word maloi, even though it wasn't really necessary for him. So that's a shala, how far do you go with this chayvan alam b'lashon rabbi? Even to mispronounce words? Rabbi Soloveitchik had a lot of words that he used to mispronounce in English. I don't say chayvan alam. I mispronounce my own words. I don't need this. I don't have to add up all the mispronunciations that he has. Okay, so Belinetta will stop over here. Tomorrow I won't be here, but Thursday Belinetta. We should continue. We should have a Democratic vote. Okay, you'll let me know Thursday morning. Let the Democratic vote go.
Yeah, sure. Another halakha, I'll focus between Tosafot and the Rashba, because Tosafot is not Halakha.